wonderful to see so many devotees gathered to remember and glorify Yamuna Devi, including devotees I haven't seen for a while. I first met Yamuna Devi in Brussels when Srila Prabhupada wanted to begin the activities in India. He had some devotees from America and England come, and Shamsundar and Malati and Gurudas and Yamuna were in Brussels, which was where we were going to get a cheap flight. And when we arrived from New York, we were brought to an apartment where they were staying and until we would get the flight. And when I walked in the room, I was just hit by the thick spiritual presence. And presence of Srila Prabhupada. And I'd never experienced anything like that. And I would have been happy to just stay with them in that apartment. Anyway, from there, we caught our flight. It stopped in Cairo. And she told me something later that I hadn't realized at the time. And the incident itself is somewhat peculiar, but it shows, I'm taking it as an example of how throughout my devotional career she helped me to see myself more as I was. So the aircraft landed in Cairo, and the president of Egypt, Nasser, had just died, and there was a lot of unrest and the whole airport was being patrolled and controlled by military people with automatic weapons. And I was trying to chant and to help myself focus, I would jump up and down. And she was standing behind me. I didn't notice it myself, but she was seeing that as I was jumping up and down, all these military people were training their automatic weapons on me, like going up and down, up and down. They didn't know what was happening. And anyway, later Nanda Kumar Prabhu, who was part of the group, anyway, he thought, I better get away from this scene, we don't know what's going to happen. And then sometime later he came back and he saw we were all like dancing in a circle chanting Hare Krishna, including some of the Egyptian warriors. Then we came to India, and from quite early I would sort of take her advice, Gurudas and her advice, and she helped in that way. But I'll skip ahead to one incident that turned out to be quite significant. So we traveled around India, and then eventually Srila Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Goswami and me to Calcutta to put on the first pandal there. And during the pandal program, I had some questions on my mind, and I didn't know how to get the answers. And I would always, try to get the answers without disturbing Srila Prabhupada. And if I felt no one else could give, if I couldn't get the answer any other way, I thought I might get it from Yamuna Devi. So I approached her at the pandal, and I told her what the questions were. I thought maybe she would give the answer. But she said, no, these are the types of questions that you have to ask Srila Prabhupada. And you're the type of person he would want to answer. So one of the questions was, I said to Srila Prabhupada, now you are here and everything is all right. But what if in the future, when you're not here, ISKCON falls from the standard? What should I do? And Srila Prabhupada replied, you are also one of the important members of the society, which I don't think was really true. So you work for the correction, but don't leave. And that later turned out to be a very important instruction that she was the one who actually gave me that advice to approach Srila Prabhupada. So now depending on her mercy, I know that I'm not qualified in any way. But from before she left, I somehow had that conviction that she could take me to Srila Prabhupada. And I still have that conviction. And so I just want to try to serve her and please her. She was really so interested in every aspect of Srila Prabhupada's mission that it's really hard to separate her concerns from any aspect of ISKCON. But she did speak often about the youth, her concern for the youth, that they take the process of Krishna consciousness and the mission with the same sense of urgency that we had. She was concerned about the women. In one of my last conversations with her towards the end, she said, you as a sannyasi cannot understand what the women in ISKCON experience. Because she was saying, she was ready to go, and I didn't like that. And I was saying, the we need you, the movement needs you. She said, no, whatever I had to do, I've already done. But then she did say that if Krishna does allow me to stay longer, the one thing I would like to do is to give some voice to the women in ISKCON. And that then she said, I don't think that you as a sannyasi can understand what a woman in this movement experiences. And so after she left, I made a pilgrimage to her ashram in Melbourne Beach, Florida, where Dina Tarini Mataji and her team were compiling the Yamuna Devi Legacy Project, which is so important. So important. And there's already a website. I hope you're aware of it and have visited it. It's so well done, just like Yamuna Devi, just like so tasteful, so artistic, so pure, so Krishna conscious, so meticulous, so thorough. And you can click on, you know, different topics, and it will just take you into her statements on the subject. And sometimes with audio clips, you can hear her voice and images. It's a total experience. And then eventually there will be her book, memoirs, you could say. And she was working on it herself for quite some time. And whenever Dina Tarini would ask to see it, she would say, well, there's nothing really to see yet. You know, I'm just working on it. And at one stage, Yamuna Devi said to her, no, if I don't finish this, I want you to finish it. And at the time, Dina Tarini thought, of course she's going to finish it, you know. So thinking that it would never happen, she said, yeah, if that comes to be, I will. And it did come to be. And at first, I was extremely disappointed. I mean, that was one of the other reasons I wanted her to stay longer. But afterwards, I could see there was perhaps a divine plan. Because later, when I spoke with Dina Tarini, she said, you know, reading through Yamuna Devi's memoirs was very revealing. Because everything was there except one thing, Yamuna Devi. She had written herself out of the whole story. And then I realized that Dina Tarini and the others working on the project had to put her in the story. But she didn't want it to be just like, you know, my memories of Prabhupada or my experiences with Prabhupada. She wanted it to have a theme. And the theme was how by following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, one can achieve all success and perfection. So it's not meant to be a history of the life of Yamuna Devi or even a history of events in ISKCON, but it's really meant to show one person's journey from receiving the seed of devotional service to the ultimate goal. And that will be an example for us. And there were many challenges along the way. There were some pretty dark periods, in a way, in ISKCON's history, in certain places. And to tell it just as a history could be a little bleak. But that wasn't the idea. The idea was to trace how Yamuna Devi, you know, dealt with different situations along the way and ultimately made the best of it and you know grew from it. So you know, that will be a tremendous contribution. Dinatarini Mataji has finished at least the first draft, and I can hardly wait until it comes out. So although you know, she's gone in the physical sense, she does remain in her legacy, and different devotees have spoken just little bits about it. When I was thinking, like, what could I say? It's like, how can you summarize the encyclopedia in 15 minutes? I mean, her life is like an encyclopedia of good qualities, an encyclopedia of devotional service, an encyclopedia of how to love and serve and encourage and enlighten. So I can just hardly wait until her legacy project is available, and I really encourage everyone to read it. It's not even something to read, it's something to enter into. And try to imbibe her mood of urgency in devotional service. Just on that, the Govinda prayers, I mean, George Harrison was so struck by her singing. He told her that, "I can make you, you know, one of the most famous female vocalists in the world, you know, if you work with me." And she was not at all interested. You know, her life, her voice, her heart, her soul, everything was just meant for Srila Prabhupada. But she was of that caliber. I mean, she could have been at the top in the material world in many respects. And her cookbook is really a classic. It is at the top. But she didn't do anything for herself. It was all for Prabhupada and Krishna and the devotees. And that's so reassuring, that whatever you offer to her, even now, she won't use it for herself. She'll just pass it on in service to Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. And that includes our hearts. We give our heart to her. She won't do anything with it except, you know, start to massage it and, you know, fill it with love and then pass it on to Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. So we do miss her. I miss her personal association. But I also do feel her presence, and I couldn't help but think that she would have probably been mortified at the thought that all these people were gathering around and glorifying her. You know, she probably would have been, looking for some hole in the ground to escape into. But I think that it's the nature of the devotee to want to glorify Guru and Krishna, not want anything for herself. But it's also the nature of Krishna that he wants his devotee to be glorified. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And I really feel blessed to be here on this occasion. I had intended to be here when her ashes were immersed and her samadhi was dedicated, but I couldn't. But I'm so glad that I'm here now and with all of you special souls who are dear to her, whether you've met her or not. And I pray to be in your association until she takes us to our next destination. Hare Krishna.